You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
The series is What's the Point? The title of the sermon today is Released. Look at somebody, say released. And so, as always, I'm excited to have my beautiful wife up here. She's in search of a microphone. And she's going to just yell until she gets the microphone. But we're going to start right here in the book of Acts 16. And we'll be at 16:11. We're going to look at Paul and Silas and this incredible journey they go on. And it says, "We boarded a boat to Troas and sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace. And the next day we landed in Neapolis. From there we reached Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we stayed there several days." So if we look at this, Paul and Silas are a missionary team, and they're on a missions trip. Anybody ever taken a missions trip, been on a missions trip? Amen. So they're off to a good start. They even had a vision, and in the vision, there was an angel said, "Come on over to Macedonia. The people are ready to hear what you have." And so everything is going well. They have the vision for the Lord, and they begin to preach the word of God. But then they go outside of the city there at Philippi and outside of the gates, and trouble stirs up. Look at somebody say trouble. Anybody ever had some trouble stir up just out of nowhere? Things were good. You're doing the thing that you knew God told you to do, and just out of nowhere, trouble gets stirred up. Acts 16:22 says, "A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas." They're in the middle of their missions trip, and a mob forms. And so they go from doing what God sent them to do, and now they're surrounded by an extremely negative circumstance. Right. And we have sometimes in our lives when we just become surrounded by enemies that we didn't necessarily deserve. We were following the orders that God gave us, and now there's these enemies. And so they're mobbed, and sometimes we're mobbed by circumstances. That doesn't necessarily mean you're on the wrong track. That could mean you're on the right track. Right. When you begin to get resistance, when you begin to have circumstances or people come against you, it could mean that you're on the right track. And I want to tell you this, and I want to make sure that we walk out of here knowing this. The devil is afraid of what's inside of you.
That's right.
Put your finger in your chest and say, "The devil is afraid of what's inside of me." Because you have the Holy Spirit, you have a calling, you have an assignment, and the devil is afraid of that. He's scared to death of what's inside of you, that it might actually get out, because it is extremely contagious. Come on, say it with me. I'm contagious.
I'm contagious.
I'm contagious.
All right, we're doing really interactive stuff here, so I want you to say this with me, okay? I've got to know who I am and what my mission is. You have to know who you are and why you are on this beautiful planet. I know sometimes we look around us and we say, "What's so beautiful with all the stuff going on?" But that's why we're here, because we're here to bring hope to others that are lost, to other people that are going through some difficult things. And so it's important for us to know how to handle ourselves when we're going through difficult things. But we have to know who we are. It goes back to knowing that the enemy is looking to, he knows who we are because he recognizes the spirit realm. He recognizes God's purpose in each and every one of us. His goal is always to try to distract us from what that is. So if you cannot identify those things, when things get tough, it's easy for you to just throw in the towel, to just opt out or quit, right? Okay. So I just want to drive this point home, that we all have something to give. We all have something to do. We have to know who we are. For some of us, we get it right early, right? And for some of us, it's like a lifelong lesson. But it's okay. You know, on your journey, as long as you're seeking God and following him, you will be okay. I've learned that. You know, and one of the greatest things I know, even in my personal life, when God, like when I finally got it, that I am the weapon. I was thinking I had all these things that were my tools, and God helped me to see you are the weapon. So this is why there's resistance. This is why certain oppositions come. When we figure out what that is, whatever that is for you, I think about things sometimes that I feel like other people might think are weird, but I'm going to share this with you. You're in my head right now. I think about people like Adolf Hitler. We all know who he is. We all know what he did. We all know that he was a leader. I'm not saying he was a good leader, but he led a lot of people in the wrong direction. But I think about he had a gift. He had a calling. And what happened along the way that it was compromised and it was turned against what God's purpose was for the kingdom. This is what we have to be aware of. You know, we've heard the saying, knowing is half the battle. If we can know what the strategy of the enemy is beforehand, which is always to kill, steal, and destroy. He's always looking to rip from. He's always looking to discourage you. He's always looking to take away your joy. He's always looking to make you feel less than. What do I have to, what voice do I have? I'm not a pastor. I'm not a leader. I'm not a community leader. You know, we put so many limitations. Those voices are not from the Lord. God came to give us life. God came to show us purpose, to give us freedom. So it's so important that we know that there is a fight for what's inside of us. If you can identify that, then when you see opposition, you say, okay, I know what's going on here.
So I look at Paul and Silas, and they're mobbed in the middle of this missions trip. And then Acts 16:22, it says, a mob forms against them. And then city officials order them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. Has anybody been beat up for no reason? Just been beat up by somebody in your life, some type of circumstances. And, you know, sometimes you're going and you're looking for justice from someone. And instead of justice, you get injustice. The city officials should have been the one to bring justice. They should have been the one to calm everybody down and say, listen, this has just gotten out of control. We need to just talk some sense into everyone. And so instead of justice, they receive injustice. And one translation says, and they received many blows. And I want to tell you this. When you take too many blows, you can lose perspective.
That's right.
And this is what's important for us to know. Because when the enemy is coming at you 100 miles an hour and you take so many blows, then you can forget what your purpose and what your assignment originally was.
That's right.
And I think somewhere in the middle of life and in the middle of ministry, in the middle of walking out our faith, sometimes we take a lot of blows and we can lose perspective of God's purpose for us. And we can lose perspective of our calling and our assignment and how unique and how special we are to God. And so that's the important part, is to be able to recenter after, like Paul and Silas, they receive so many blows. And like in life, so oftentimes we receive certain blows. In certain season, there might be just a couple things that we're battling with. Other seasons, it seems like there's a lot that's come against us. And so this is where Paul and Silas were. And I think sometimes when we get there, it's even easy to ask questions. Begin to question your calling. Begin to question things that God has clearly said to you in other seasons.
I'm going to jump in here. I remember there was times, especially at the beginning when we first got married, I was very different, or I felt like I was very different from what was going on around me. And so many times I felt like, why am I here? Why was I joined to this family? Why am I a part of this church? Why is everything so different from who I am? I feel like I'm a fish swimming upstream, you know? And I felt like I would ask God. I said, I don't understand if I'm such a part of this. What is it, God, that you're trying to teach me through this? I can tell you guys that when you continue to just seek God's face and you continue to do the right thing and you continue to worship him through opposition, when you continue to just follow his voice, there are so many things that he can reveal to you. I mean, we're talking about worship. Why? Right? What's the point? When you worship, when you get into the presence of God, it has a way of recentering. It has a way of God speaking to you clearly. It's that clarity that comes in those moments. And this is why we've broken it down so much, because how easy is it when stuff gets crazy for us to just get so consumed with what's going on in the moment?
Right.
We get
right.
so consumed with feeling overwhelmed. We get so consumed with feeling like, well, God, if you said this, why am I here?
That's
if you right. said this, what's going on?
Right.
You know, but it's okay. I want to like disarm the thought that it's not okay to ask questions. It's okay to ask questions.
That's
it's okay
right.
to be real with God.
That's right.
He's our Father. With our Father, we're supposed to be open. We're supposed to tell him, you know what, God, I don't feel so great about this. Can you help me understand where I am, what
right.
you're doing? Help me be patient. Help me see clear.
One thing that we see clearly in this story is that they're on this journey, and then we see they're mobbed. They're falsely accused, they're beaten, and then Acts 16:23 says, after they were severely beaten, they were then thrown into prison. And the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. Can I tell you, the devil is the jailer.
Yep. Yep.
He wants to put you in captivity.
That's right.
Different areas of your life, different places that you're going through, he wants to hold you captive. He wants to limit you. And he wants you to serve time. He wants to take away what God has given you.
That's right.
Which is freedom. The Bible says who the sun sets free is what?
Free.
So the enemy preys on ignorance. Either people that are lost or believers that have either forgotten or never truly realized the freedom that God has for us.
That's right.
And so he tries to take away what has been given to us. The devil wants to lock you up. And that's one of the strategies that we have to be so aware of. The enemy wants you to be limited. He wants to limit your destiny. He wants to limit your purpose. He wants to limit your blessings. He wants to limit your happiness.
I'd like to pose the question, you know, I know that the enemy, we know that he loves to play mind games with us. But the truth is, where does captivity begin? In our minds, right? He always attacks our minds first, because once we agree with the thought, we give it power. Once we agree with a thought of, well, I can't do that, that's not me, or, you know, maybe God really didn't call me to do this, or, you know, we bring up 100 excuses, you know, and or we just get so tired that we start saying, well, maybe this isn't what God had in store for me. Maybe I'm not going to get healed. Maybe the financial breakthrough isn't coming. Maybe God just, this is my path. You know, when we start to agree, the difference between somebody that has a breakthrough and somebody that doesn't is the unrelenting faith. That consistent declaration of, I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to continue to seek after him. You know, when we think captivity long enough, it begins to affect our heart, right? We know that about our minds. Our minds have so much power. It brings about, you know, health. It could bring, you know, negative health, bad health, when people start to think in a very negative light. The mind has so much power. It can affect your soul. You know, your soul can become wounded. Your soul can become sick from you just having this mindset and all these thought processes that aren't from the Lord. So our mind has the power to do so many things. It controls our perspective. And that's why I think we see throughout all of Scripture, God says to us, what? Guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life, right? The absence of hope makes the heart sick, right? As a man thinketh, so is he. So even Paul, we're reading about Paul. Paul told us, he says, I take captive every thought,
right?
We have to take every thought under captivity, Because if we don't discern if that thought is coming, where it's coming from, we can completely go off track, going along, and we've seen it happen. And I do not want that for anybody here. I want us to get this. We have to measure our thoughts by the word of God and the spirit of the Lord and what he's saying to us.
Amen. Amen. So we take our thoughts captive, or our thoughts take us captive. And so going on here with Paul and Silas, Acts 16:24, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their foot with stocks. Okay, so I want you to see this. They went from the jail to the inner jail, and from inside the inner jail, they got the stocks clamped on them. Because with the devil, enough is never enough.
That's right.
If he takes a little bit from you and you allow it, he's going to take a little bit more. If he limits you in one area of your life and you don't push back, guess what? He's going to limit you some more. He might try to venture into another area, try to limit you there. And so until you take a stand against the enemy, he will continue to put you in more and more captivity. So he takes him from one place of captivity to another place of captivity until there is just complete immobility. I said it before, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you're truly free indeed. And so the mission that Jesus has, and part of his mission that with the first verse that he read from the passage from Isaiah, I come to set the prisoners free. So we have on one hand this force at work, this force that Jesus is, a freedom, and then the enemy trying to cause captivity. So Jesus is trying to free us, and the enemy is trying to limit us, to try to captivate us. And so in all these different areas, in calling and blessing, in our family, in our finances, he wants to limit us. Turn to somebody and say, I am not going to be limited anymore. Because we have to begin to just say no. We have to begin to just say no. And if we don't, we can get into a very dark place. The enemy will get us in a very dark place if we don't make a stand. Look at somebody, say pitch black.
Pitch black. You know, last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, God showed me so clearly that this is a house not only of worshipers, but we're warriors.
That's right.
And warriors don't back down. Warriors do not allow themselves to get beat up into a corner. Do you get in positions sometimes where you feel like you're at the mercy of your enemy? Yes. But what I think differentiates a warrior is he never stops fighting. And I want to encourage you today, no matter how bleak your situation is, the word of God says that we are not like those who have no hope. We have a hope in him. And it's so important that we never stop fighting, that we always fight for what God has said to us. God has given us promises that some of them are still not fulfilled, a lot of them. So that means we're working towards a goal. So whenever you feel backed into a corner, I heard a pastor once say, he said, you know, I was fighting depression, and I remember what I would do in those moments where I felt really low. He said, I'm going to kick the devil in the teeth, but I would call three people or however many people and just encourage them. And I would use whatever he was trying to use against me, and I would use it against him and try to build the kingdom of God. His whole goal, the strategy of the enemy is always to suppress us, to get us to quit, to say, I'm not for this. And if we can know that, if we know that that's who we are, that God has called us to be light in darkness, he's called us to be the head and not the tail. So I don't care what he throws at us. We are coming at him. We're coming after him, and we're building the kingdom of God.
I hope you can parallel this so far with your life.
That's right.
Paul and Silas are on a journey. They go through different circumstances. They're mobbed. They're falsely accused. There's some stuff that's just not fair. The people that they were looking to for justice gave them injustice instead. They were beat up. They were put in jail. The enemy was trying to limit their ability to do what God called them to do. And they got to this really dark place in Acts 16:25. It says around midnight. This is the darkest moment. Around midnight, Paul and Silas, listen to this. They realized, you know what? Things have gotten a little bit off course. This is not what we're trying to do with this trip. This is not what God has sent. God didn't send us to be in jail. Let's get things back on track. And look what they do. They begin to pray and sing hymns to God.
Oh my goodness.
At your darkest point, you have to realize it's worship that turns the light on.
Yes.
It's worship that will illuminate what's going on in your life. And a little bit of light can change everything. How many know that when you're in a pitch dark room and you just a little bit of light.
Hallelujah.
Well, I want to tell you, when you get in the presence of God, when we get into worship, there's a lot more than just a little bit of light that's released. And so even though they've been beat up by circumstances and falsely accused and received opposition, they say, you know what? I think that if we begin to worship, we could get things back on track.
Hallelujah.
I think God could get a hold of this situation if we give it to him in worship. And so we see worship gets life back on course. Worship can get your life back on course. Worship has the power to get things back the way they need to be. And so it brings things back into perspective, even in the dark times and the difficulties of life. If we can learn, if we can make a habit, if we can make it our mode of operation to worship in the most difficult of times, in the darkest of seasons, if we can say, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. I've received the epiphany from the Lord. I'm going to worship my way out of this situation.
Paul himself used this or said this, and it's something that I think is so appropriate for this. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So let me ask you this. What's a way that we keep our eyes on Jesus? Worship. We worship the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. I when I read the last part there, I thought to myself, you know, you question, why is that even in there? We know that it's there to give us hope that God, that Jesus did something for us, right? But when we take it into a different context and say, well, it's there because we're supposed to follow suit. If we are made in his image, we are supposed to look at the joy set before us. We're supposed to see that there is a victory at hand. And continue. Because of the joy set before us, we will endure. We will fight. We will run. And we will attain. So if our eyes aren't fixed and focused on God, we won't see what lies ahead. We'll just see what's in front of us. But we need to be more like Jesus, where he knew what was going on. Because of that, he was able to encourage himself and just continue going. So the principle is, worship turns the lights on.
And we have to get this word in our spirit. Suddenly, look at somebody in the face and say, suddenly. It says after they worshiped in Acts 16:26, it says suddenly there was a massive earthquake. That didn't just happen by chance. It was because they were worshiping. They were worshiping and then suddenly something happened. Suddenly something changed. Suddenly there was an earthquake. And listen, the prison was shaken to its foundation. I don't know if you realize how powerful the worship inside of you is. Whether you're talking about corporate worship or private worship, you need to get a hold of all kinds of worship and express that worship to God. Because if you realize every construct that the enemy has built to hold you captive is going to be shaken to its very foundation. If you can worship. If you can worship. Let me tell you something. What the enemy has built and conspired against you to limit you and hold you in bondage is going to be shaken to pieces. The best word that they could come up with is earthquake, because when God moves on your behalf, it's a force, like a force of nature. It's powerful. It's suddenly. And then there is, as Acts 16:26, it says there's open doors. It says suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundation. Come on, get this. And all the doors. Can somebody say all the doors? All the doors. You need to receive this in your life. All the doors were opened. I believe God wants to drop us suddenly into your life. If you can begin to worship Him like never before this week. God wants to drop us suddenly into your circumstance, and He wants to open every door. And I love this. It says, and the chains of how? Just Paul and Silas? Every prisoner fell off. Can I tell you that the freedom that God wants to give you is contagious? It won't just stay on your life, but it's going to affect your coworkers. It's going to affect family members. It's going to affect other people that are in your life just by association. They're going to experience the freedom that comes when you worship. Can you stand up with me for a moment? Because I believe that who the Son sets free is meant to be free. The sons and daughters of God, it's time to lift up our hands. It's time to tell the devil enough is enough. It doesn't matter if it's a midnight hour. It doesn't matter if it's looking pitch black. It doesn't matter if the devil has limited you. It doesn't matter if there's areas of your life that look like they're being held captive. God's about to turn the lights on when you worship. God's about to give you revelation as you worship. You see, the devil wants to intimidate you out of your worship. The devil wants to give you a reason. The devil wants to give you an emotion that tells you, don't worship today. Don't worship today. I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. My arms hurt. My body hurts. Maybe I'll just roll the covers back over my head today because I just don't feel like it. But if in the midnight hour you can lift up your hands, if in the midnight hour you can lift up your voice, if in the midnight hour you can find your worship, you can begin to sing praises. You can begin to find the key that you need. Worship is the key that opens every door. Worship is the key that unlocks every door. Worship is the thing that caused the shackles to fall off your life that the jailer has put there. God wants to announce a prison transfer. He's taking you from the inner jail to the main place, to the holding. He's taken from you from the holding. He's taken you out of the holding. Because who He sets free, He meant it. He meant it. He meant it. Come on, lift your hands with me. Lift your hands with me. Lift your voice with me today. This is your moment. This is your time. God wants to drop a suddenly experience into your life. It's not something that you're going to have to strive for, but it's something that you're going to lift your hands. Doesn't matter how it looks. Doesn't matter how you've been beaten. The devil may try to make you feel like the loser. But when you lift your hands up in worship, you're the winner. You're victorious. You're victorious. God is making you victorious today.
You know, I think so much of our success is going to be in our consistency. Sometimes we think it's it's as easy as just trying a couple of times. But I can tell you something. Greatness comes from persisting and having consistency and pushing through until you become so strong that that thing no longer is even a viable opposition towards you. I want to challenge you as we pray to really grab a hold of this word and know that if you can stay connected to the Father, if you can consistently worship through every season, if you can push through, you will birth something that you did not expect. You will see God's hand proved on your life. Father, we thank you for these people, God. We present ourselves to you as living sacrifices, Lord. We thank you, God, for the word that you've spoken today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have empowered us to be the head and not the tail. We thank you that you have empowered us with strength. You have made us to rise up with wings like eagles. And God, today we thank you, Father, that we are not just having a motivational talk, but Father, that we grab a hold of the life that you give, the hope that you've given us through Jesus. And Jesus, today we accept that hope. We accept that life that you've given us. And God, we just thank you right now, Father. We make you king over our circumstances. We don't look at our circumstances as greater than you. We look at you as the all-ending, all-powerful God that has the power to move and shake mountains, move and shake our lives. And so, God, we give you that authority. We give you that power. We exalt you today. We worship you today, God. We ask that you would make our hearts so hungry for you that we are not satisfied with anything but your presence, Lord, that we consistently seek your face, God, in the day-to-day, in the small things, in the big things, God. When we're having a great day, when we're having a bad day, Father, I pray that you would remind us who we are, that you would remind us who we are to you, that you would remind us who you are to us, God. And I just declare that these people are not only worshipers, they are mighty warriors. They are in the army of the Lord. They stand up and they are counted as soldiers in the army of the Lord, God. I pray, Father, that identity would be revealed in this place, God. As people rest, as people sleep, you would give them dreams, visions, God, of the purpose and the plan that you've placed in their hearts. God, let them be awakened, Father, with such a drive to expand your kingdom, to be unsatisfied without, God, to just be driven for more, to be driven for more, to walk in the promises of God. Thank you, Father, for what you've done today. We receive your word. And we give you all the honor and all the praise because you deserve it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.